Here we are reporting live from Wichita, Kansas with Stacy Ann Krasinski. Wichita, Kansas, we have our Wonder Woman moving to Washington, D.C. How do you feel?
Oh my gosh. Like, Washington, D.C.? I'm coming from Wichita, Kansas. So, this little town into this big city life.
Small girl in a big city, don't you think?
I'm so excited. Like,
I'm excited for you.
I've been hearing so much about this mumbo sauce. I hope and pray to God that they have gluten-free mumbo sauce. So, I'm just like, ecstatic.
Well, we're really excited to catch up with you later on. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right.
2 months later.
Oh my gosh. These little hooligans are just so loud outside. Like, who does this at some damn 8 o'clock? I have to go to work in the next, like, 7 hours. Who the fuck does this? Like, I plan on going to yoga in the morning. I'm gonna go to cycle, and I'm going to go get my barista. Like, I just don't understand. Like, I got work in the morning, and my family is calling me. Like, I just don't understand. Why are they yelling? Like, who is anybody gangster out here? Like, I'm in Wichita.
Get out of our neighborhood, Stacy.
You know what? I'm gonna call the police.
Nobody likes you, Stacy.
I am just so over it. My dad. I just can't.
What's good, y'all? Episode 10 of the podcast. We here.
Just sipping your white tears.
Just gulps of white tears right now.
Jeez.
Welcome to the Entangled Podcast. It's episode 10, right?
Yeah.
I got that right. Ooh, I'm out here. And if y'all have not heard, it's like an epidemic going on. Epidemic.
Epidemic.
It's an epidemic going on. Back home in D.C., there is a select few people. I think there was one guy, his name was Ben, like, Krasowski or something. Whatever, I don't remember what his last name was. But just very upset, frustrated with the culture of D.C. This man moved to...
He wasn't upset with the culture. He was upset with the volume. But it's also too...
Nah, get that shit out of here.
What he was upset with the
culture. He was upset with the culture. He didn't know how to phrase it because there was black folk in front of him and he didn't want to get that chin check.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day...
You're my brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, brother.
All right, brother.
My...
You sure you want to do that, Benjamin?
But... So Ben, as well as like his ragtag bunch of hooligans from outside of the District of Columbia area, have been very frustrated with the loud music, the loud nonsense, the racket banging on pots and pans that has been happening off Florida Ave. And has like made multiple complaints to get like one of a shop that's been around like... as for my entire childhood, shut down.
So what is the, I guess, the definition of gentrification?
Well, the issue is gentrification.
Yeah.
And the definition is misplacement of a people by people being placed into a community. So...
One more time for the people in the back. So the placement of people...
Misplacement of people.
Okay, because you're not supposed
to be
there.
From other people being placed into a community.
We don't even know you!
So... A lot of people get confused about like saying, oh, well, I like gentrification because it's like re-energizing, revitalizing, rebirthing the area. That's not the same thing.
Right.
An area can be brought up, an area can be cleaned up, new buildings, all these great things without misplacing the people who are already there, without hiking the prices up thousands of dollars so that people can no longer afford to even live in that area, without... building all these like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's actually isn't that expensive, but Whole Foods and like, well, comparatively, wait, there's a Trader Joe's over here. If it wasn't so far, I'd be there all the time. But without building like a Whole Foods and Wegmans where people can no longer afford to even purchase groceries, like that is the issue. That is the issue.
So what's happening in DC right now is pretty much, like people are just complaining about the volume control and, you know, like, I've kind of lived here for like 3-5 years in D.C. and, you know, it just doesn't make any sense of why they are just so loud. But it's like Chocolate City's been there. Go-Go's been there since, what, the 1960s?
Go-Go is the heartbeat of the city. And if Washington, D.C. is the heartbeat of our country, whoa, strap on your pantyhose for this. Ew. That means Go-Go is the heartbeat of our entire country. Mm. Boom. Ba-ba. Drop Ba-ba. A bomb for that shit, Ba-ba. Boy. Yeah, Ba-ba. Slow bounce that. Just
wait,
slow.
No, I'm
trying to tell you, that shit is genius. The reality is that Go-Go has been there for ages, longer than I've even existed.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
If you're just now moving into the area, then like, and you're frustrated with it, the fuck did you think was about to happen, Mo? Like, get your ass on. There's no reason for you to be here.
Yeah.
Like, or you can just become part of the culture, mm-hmm. and engage with the culture and learn something new about the city that you now want to claim as your home.
Heavy hitter, sucker.
So, the problem is it's not just Washington, D.C. Mm-mm. It's every major city.
Right.
Like, it's happened in Miami. The Wynwood Arts District in Miami, that was like one of the biggest gentrification projects out here. Shit, Kensington, Brewery Town, Northern Liberties, all these areas in Philly.
Absolutely.
Those are major projects where people are gentrifying the area and misplacing people who are from there. And Absolutely. The shit is childish, yo. Like, I'm not here for it anymore. And it's really frustrating. But I want to shout out all of the people back home who got together. It was just a huge gathering, a collection of so many people from all over the city back home, back in D.C., who collectively came together to just celebrate the culture. And no violence, no ignorance. Everyone was just there to celebrate the energy and the culture and the heartbeat of Washington, D.C. And that's beautiful. And I hope that showcases to people who are from out of the area what Go-Go means.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my soapbox. I guess I should get down from my soapbox. I mean, how do you feel? Do you think Go-Go is a good, I mean, not Go-Go. Do you think gentrification is a good or bad thing?
I think gentrification is, it can be a good thing. I do like the fact that, you know, I can go into the city and not feel like my car's gonna get shot up if I'm in the wrong neighborhood. But at the same time, like, my mother is from Northeast, so I love the people and why my family was embedded in D.C. To know the history of my great-great aunt to move from Germantown, Philadelphia, to move to D.C., and knowing why and where people were at certain times of their lives, like, I think that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I'm all for change, just not with the kicking out of our people in our neighborhoods.
So again, like,
because it used to be Chocolate City.
So again, that is,
and now you don't see that. You see a bunch of white people walking around their dogs like, ho, ho, ho.
Well,
hello,
two misconceptions. Uh-huh. Misconception number one.
How you doing?
Okay. Misconception number one is that, you know, because there's less crime, that gentrification is doing a great thing. That's a ruse. That's a mask. Again, that's not, like, that is not gentrification. If there's less, just because it looks newer, just because an area looks newer, looks prettier, that's not what that means. What it means is that people are being misplaced. People are being pushed out of their homes. People are losing their livelihoods. So I don't want us to, like, conflate the ideas of, like, oh, now I can drive through this neighborhood. But, like, that's the same, like, rough mentality, like, toxic mentality that people who now move into these areas have, like, oh, it's toxic or it's sketchy, you know?
I hate when people say that.
Yeah, but
oh,
so like
North
so that's
Philly
what I'm saying, though.
Sketchy.
You can't. That's what I'm saying.
What the
like,
fuck does that
just
mean?
Because if you are engaging with the community, if you are around and talking to the people, then like nobody's gonna fuck with you. Real recognize real. That's the reality. Every hood you go to, everywhere you go, if you walking around acting like you don't know shit, acting like you're not from here, acting like you just don't know normal rules of engagement,
I think that's the issue. Is just the you're not engaging with
yeah, and that's what I'm saying, and that's part of it. The other issue. The other misconception is that you mentioned something about because you see white people walking around. The reality is black people can be gentrifiers as well. Absolutely. People of all backgrounds. It doesn't matter who
we
you
could
are.
Be gentrifiers of Philadelphia, but it's the difference between us is that we are constantly engaging with people in our community
and acting for the people in our community. Yeah. But again, just because I don't want it to be...
I don't consider myself a gentrifier. Yes, I do go to the Starbucks down the street. I mean,
well, again, what I'm saying is because you mentioned that. Oh, I don't want the, like, I don't walk around seeing, like, Becky walking her dog and shit. Yeah. But the reality is it could be...
Just speak.
It could be... Hold on. But the reality is it could also be Tyshawn walking around with his dog who is now willing to purchase this cheap-ass home and flip that shit for tons of fucking money. Yeah. And now people no longer are able to afford the homes that are already on their block. Your race... You could be a gentrifier. It's more so a thing of classism. It doesn't really have it. I mean, yes, there's definitely racial undertones, very huge racial undertones.
Absolutely.
But the reality is it's a thing of classism. And so, no, by no means is gentrification a good thing for anybody. I don't, like, fuck your, not you specifically, but fuck your opinion. Like, gentrification cannot be a good thing. If you're thinking of revitalizing a community, all good and well. Yes, that is a great thing. But by no means are we going to ever consider gentrification a good thing, because by definition, it is pushing people away. And so that shit is not okay. And, you know,
I just think there's a way you can go about gentrifying. That's it.
No, don't use that word. Do not use that word. You can revitalize a community. You cannot gentrify a community. There's a complete difference. Fuck out of here. You playing with me.
I guess.
Get that shit out of here. But
I guess.
Whatever, nigga. No, I don't want to hear your shit. But you know what? Shout out to the number one gentrifier, like, on the airways right now. Shout out to my nigga Billy Ray Cyrus, dog.
How is he a gentrifier?
Shout out to this nigga Billy Ray Cyrus, dog.
He's just being his old country self.
Billy Ray Cyrus out here gentrifying hip hop, dog, and I'm with it. I'm with this shit.
Is it really gentrifying, or is it revitalizing?
Nigga, I got horses in the back. I don't give a fuck what you're talking about,
dog.
There
is some horses in West Philly now.
That was good, wasn't it? That was fucking dope. You're wildin'. That shit was so fire.
Oh my
Shout out to this nigga Billy Ray Cyrus. Lil Nas X, motherfucking number one song on Billboard charts, dog. They try to hold this nigga Lil Nas X down.
Can we just say that Billy Ray Cyrus' verse was like...
Okay, but we're
top
not
five.
We're not going to ignore
2019.
The heat of Lil Nas
X. I got my
X.
top down with my Maserati.
I don't think those are the words.
What? No.
I don't think that's how
also, I heard Maserati. I was like,
all I know is this nigga Billy Ray out here fucking killing shit. Little fucking 12-year-old. I don't know how old that nigga is. He looked mad young, though.
Yeah.
You know, before he was on the top Billboard's top country songs, and they took that shit down last year. Because they, like, realize... Because they realize, oh, this is a rap song.
But it's not.
And then Billy Ray Cyrus got on it and dropped motherfucking heat. I bet you Tupac came down from heaven and wrote Billy Ray Cyrus's verse. Fucking killed that shit. You know Tupac had horses too, nigga. Don't bullshit, nigga. It's fucking fire. I don't care. Shout out to my nigga Billy Ray Cyrus.
Y'all better be a couple that has deep, you know, conversations.
Y'all niggas better. Yo, shout out to Billy
you
Ray
for
Cyrus.
Out.
Shout out to Billy Ray Cyrus. Be my sponsor, dog. We out here. Sponsor us, nigga. We out here, dog. But
honestly, it is kind of fucked up. It's almost like, because Lil Wayne, he'll be on, like, the hip hop charts, the pop, you know, the pop charts and stuff like that. So it's like, why is it okay for him to be on the pop charts? It's like, because it's playing in, like, the white clubs, and that's okay. But, like, if you play this hip hop song in like PBR, where they got the rodeo and the ride and the bull, like, that's not okay. I have a problem with that.
White people love that song, first of all.
But
everybody
why take that down
it.
From the charts, though?
Black
That's my thing.
Love
like,
the
you
song.
Are so uncomfortable to see
Asian folk love the song.
Another man winning.
Australians love the song. I'm dying because of all the heat. I'm just choking because of the low oxygen levels from the heat.
Oh,
of this song.
I
ooh,
see you.
Dropping science bars,
ooh,
nigga.
Ooh.
Science bars. I be studying this shit. That shit is fire.
I see you.
It is really toxic, though, how, like, they really... essentially like fucked over Lil Nas X from being able to like just have that clout. This is first. This is only song, I think. I'm pretty sure this is only song.
Yeah. It released in December. Yeah. And here it is in April. We're now just getting to him on the charts, I guess. Right?
I mean, well, he was on the charts before.
Oh.
And they took him down. And then Billy popped on the song.
And that's when it's like and popping.
And they put him back up. Because Billy Ray verified his ass.
Yeah. But there's a way. I wouldn't say gentrify. I definitely would say that he utilized his privilege to put, you know, us on. Not us, like me and you. But I'm just saying, put like us black folk on.
Nah, fuck that shit.
I think that's I don't feel like, I don't want to categorize all white people as being.
Well,
like,
I'm never categorizing all white people.
So, but I'm saying that there are people like Billy Ray Cyrus who utilize their privilege to put people on. And that's, I think, cool. That's dope.
Not any point in this conversation did I say that all white people are bad.
I didn't say that.
Listen, all I'm saying.
I never said
is
that.
Give the people what they want. They want ignorance. So I'm going to call Billy Ray Cyrus a gentrifier so that people feed into our ignorance. Thank you. Mike. Dropped.
What?
That was the mic.
I know. We're not dropping any type of electronic devices.
Whatever. I don't want to hear your nonsense. Jesus. You're being disrespectful. You're taking your anger out on me right now. You're taking your anger out on me.
I'm not toying with you and your fucking behaviors.
You're taking your bullshit out on me.
I don't like your fucking... That's not my problem. You got your own issues.
Whatever, nigga.
Anyway, I feel like... Your way of thinking is a little fucked up, and that's okay because you're human. The next topic I want to get into, because you are just so mean about gentrifiers, is how people make excuses for their toxic behaviors. So I recently just watched The Real Housewives of Atlanta, and first of all, I think I had Elijah sit on one of the episodes where Nene, Cynthia Bailey had like a, some sort of like a party for Seagram's little wine coolers. And this was Nene's first time coming out with her husband, Greg, that has been struggling with stage 4, colon cancer or just cancer. So that was an issue with herself and trying to be around other women. She was always like very distant, very closed off. And anytime people spoke to her, she was always very snappy. Over time, like she would always explain to them like, hey, like I'm dealing with my husband and his crankiness and him dealing with his stage 4 cancer. So this is what is happening at home. I'm sorry if I am acting this way. But I feel like sometimes in life, when we have these life changes and these toxic behaviors arise, over time, those excuses become old. Like, I understand that you're in these situations where your spouse or your partner is, y'all, you know, combating, y'all are going through some shit. But, like, when you're, like, don't bring your home shit with your friends and your family. Like, I feel like that's so... inappropriate. You don't consider me. You don't consider my feelings. I just wanted to bring light to that situation because that also, you know, talks about just the stress and how we deal with it in our relationship.
So the issue is that when you're frustrated with something else going on in your life, you're saying it's unfair for you to take that out on other people.
Yes.
Everybody deals with shit in life. Correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it doesn't give you the right to be a dick, be an asshole to the people around you, whether you're friends or just associates. Like that's one, it's not a healthy way to cope. Two, you're never going to be able to build any type of relationship. And that's, you're not going to be able to build a relationship. Mm-hmm. So even when, say you have a shitty day at work and you come home from work and then you're real short, with your partner, like that shit's not a good look. Mm-hmm. And the healthy option would be to talk that shit out, which is why, like, last episode we talked about, I like really snapped you up because you were talking about how you're in therapy, and you just started cognitive behavioral therapy,
correct?
And it's just helpful to be able to get that shit out, because you can't bring those types of things, that toxic like energy, into your relationships. And there's people like constantly who are people who have to nurture their loved ones who are, like, might be sick or something like mm-hmm. that, who then take that out on all the people around them. But those are the people who need therapy the most.
Right.
Because you're exerting all of your energy into somebody else to help nurture somebody. And now you feel like everything that's being said is an attack on you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just feel like, I remember when my grandmother was dealing with my grandfather during his difficult time of Alzheimer's. It just seemed like any and everything that was spewing out of her mouth was negative, just tearing others down, because she was unhappy with her situation. And I always kept like asking, like, you should really like get into therapy. And for some reason, like, Black folks just have this stigma of like therapy, like, oh, I don't need that. That's for white people. Or, you know, like, there's nothing really wrong with me. They hate putting the mirror up to their faces. But it's really like one of those things where you're constantly taking care of others. Like, you need to pour into yourself in order for you to be a good wife, to be a good person. Because that's difficult, because with Alzheimer's and dementia, it's only going to get worse. It's never going to get better.
Yeah, and I mean, that's also like on the far side of that situation, because not everybody, you know, is dealing with having to nurture somebody back to health.
Yeah.
But just everyday stressors, like, shit, somebody might cut you off. Like, I've been driving and had a shitty road experience and came home
mad as shit.
Came home angry as hell because somebody cut me off, and now you want to have a conversation. I'd be like, nigga, I don't want to talk. Somebody just cut me the fuck off. Leave me the fuck alone. Right,
and that pours into...
And that builds into the relationship. So it's really just being honest with... That's why, like, that one question of just, like, how was your day means so much. But also being able to gauge your partner's energy to know if, like, this might not be the right time to ask them how their day was.
Yeah.
Because there are times when, like, you'd be wanting to know how the day was, and I'd be like, it was good, nigga, leave me alone.
Mm.
And I obviously don't say it like that, but my energy definitely says it.
Right.
And so it's...
Body language, too.
Yeah, so it's a thing of being able to read your partner, and then being able to have set aside a healthy space to release that toxic energy, whether it's like you do that shit on your own and go take your ass for a fucking run, or whether it's you sit and converse with your partner to like get through that shit. But everybody deals with some shit, and it's just very difficult but very important to be able to not bring that into your communication with your partner.
It just be hard. It be so hard. That's it.
So is there a time that's happened to you?
Yeah, recently.
Such as?
So just dealing with the multiple, stressors in my life, which has been, well, first of all, I just got an offer for a new position.
Snap, we lit.
So I am transitioning from a temporary position to a permanent position, which is so dope because I get like benefits and days off, paid days off, man, such is life. But it seems like when you take a few steps up, you're taking several steps back. So I received this good news, and then I'm hearing about a close relative is dealing with, just health issues within the family members, and, you know, just dealing with changes in my life, because I feel like going from one job to another job is a stress in itself. And then when I come home, it's like that stress that I'm dealing with outside of this household, I am bringing it into the house and kind of reacting towards Teddy.
So what do you do to get rid of that?
So I felt like initially I needed to just be away from you, because I felt like whatever I'm saying is just ignorant. It is like detrimental. Like, I'm just saying some really mean and hurtful shit to you. But I realized being away from you is actually making the situation a lot worse. So it was like, nah. We gonna talk this shit out. I'm gonna tell you what the fuck is stressing me out. And I'm gonna tell you, like, this is what's making me feel this way, so that you can just be a listening ear and understand from my perspective. And it takes two strong people to really, like, you know, understand one another and not feel so defensive. Like, well, I didn't like this one time where you snapped at me, da 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 da. You didn't know about this until after I told you, or you didn't know about this before when I told you this is what was stressing me out. And now that you know, like, we both can reach an understanding. Hey, if you ever feel like that ever again, you come to me or you talk to me, you know. So it's just important that we try not to stray away from our problems, but talk it over with somebody that we care about, especially with those that we love.
But that's not something that's so easy for people, because there's oftentimes when you may attempt to talk some things out, and you might say something that doesn't quite go your way, or you may say something that you can't quite take back. It's important to be impeccable with your word. Like, you never know, something could slip out and that shit can't come back. Like, you know,
it's like,
I hope you walk to work and shit on yourself. Like, you can't take that back.
What? That,
you can't take those words back.
Wait.
Or, I hope you get out the bed and stub your pinky toe, your left pinky toe on the door. Like, that's some disrespectful shit, and you've wished hate upon my life, and now that will never come back.
Not my goddamn pinky toe.
Your pink number pinky toe.
But my pinky.
My pinky toe.
Oh my.
Like, there's hateful shit that you can't take back, and if you put in that
atmosphere. I mean, I've seen some mean stuff to you, but not my pinky toe.
If you put it in the atmosphere, it's forever there, and then you just canceled.
It's like a fucking it's like a glass plate. When you break it, it's really hard to put that shit back together. So I feel like that with a lot of celebrities, like the whole Cardi B situation. You're forever gonna be. Not a, I don't even know what to say. I don't want to call her a scammer.
Why not? New York's full of them.
I know.
New York is full of scammers.
She's like, yeah, let's come to the room and we can have some sex tonight.
That's your Cardi B
that
voice?
That was really bad.
That was
really
your Cardi bad. B
and
voice?
And we can have sex tonight.
Do that again. Try again. Say something else.
Damn, have some sex with me tonight. I promise you, I'll give you the best time of your life.
This is so bad.
Is that better?
This is so bad.
Oh my God.
Do one more. One more.
Ew.
That was so trash.
I really tried. And it's so fucked up too, because like my best friend is like from the Bronx.
I know.
And like has like the whole like right out here in this bitch.
So what happened with Cardi
B? I should notice. So she was online. This is like years ago. I don't know how it resurfaced. Like the internet is just,
because the internet's a revolving door of fuckery.
It is tricky. But she had went on some live or whatever video, and she was just like, yeah, so and the fuck what, y'all, like I was stripping or whatever, and like, you know, yes, while I was stripping, like afterwards I would take niggas over to my house, or they would invite me to their house for sex, and yes the fuck I would fucking drug them, yes the fuck I would, and rob them, because, and then if they ever try to say, oh, you robbed me, ha ha ha, you had sex with a tranny, and it's just like, but is she canceled?
Yo, first of all, you're canceled for this problematic ass Cardi B voice.
I said the fuck like a lot, so I feel like that was like the epitome
this
of a Bronx
so ignorant.
Chick. Fuck you mean.
This is so ignorant, and I love it.
Thanks.
I love it.
I'm like, I'm really trying. Like this the fuck.
Oh man, problematic.
So
it's best.
It's a lot of just big mouth. Like no.
Anyways,
the fuck
canceled. I mean, do we cancel Cardi B for that? I feel like nah. I feel like, yo, at the end of the day,
I really hate the fact that they did like surviving Cardi B. Like she is on the same wavelength as Bill Cosby and R. Kelly.
Nah, yo, because they was out here raping people.
Right. But,
I mean, like, listen. At the end of the day, I've stolen quite a few things in my lifetime. Maybe not in the same way.
Right.
I never drugged the guy at 7-Eleven to steal some cheddar and sour cream chips. But I did like take a couple bags and just walk out with them Jones. So am I canceled? No. I think what she did was fucked up. It's wrong. But, you know, so be it. It is what it is.
You know, it's almost like, remember the whole Dwight Howard situation with the whole like, oh, well, you had sex with blah, 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 blah. It is the same exact situation But it's like you paid for sex, which is like, I guess, illegal, right? Prostitution is illegal.
You guess?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to like think about it.
How many times you paid for sex then?
I don't know the laws, whatever. So I feel like with the whole Dwight Howard situation, it's like, oh, well, if you don't pay such and such, then I'm going to tell people that you had sex with a tranny. And that's what, that was her like little dangling like, oh, well, I'm taking your money. And if you tell, I'm going to tell people that you had sex with a tranny. It's like the same exact situation. People are just grimy as fuck out here.
I just think, first of all,
period.
The issue to me is this whole idea of cancel culture. We're so quick to immediately pass judgment for something that we believe might be immoral, but like really it's just a fuck up, and we fuck up all the fucking time. I say
she was younger.
I constantly say ignorant shit. Now I'm not gonna give her the excuse if she was younger because she's drugging people. Like at the end of the day, you know drugging people is wrong.
It's wrong, right.
So I don't give a fuck what your age is. You shouldn't be out here drugging people. Fuck that. But I'm not going to walk around here and say that like for every dumb thing you did, we're now canceling you. I'm no longer listening to your shit. Because that shit is stupid. Like, for example, Kodak Black recently said some wild shit about Lauren London.
Yeah.
He was caught on video saying, like, yeah, it's going to take her some time to heal. I'll give her, like, a year, and then I'm going to go smack at her.
Yeah.
But, like, one, in the privacy of our, like, or what we perceive to be private.
Right.
Private conversations with our friends and family. Like, we say ignorant shit. I can't even count all the wild, ignorant things that we say in my living room, my parents' house. Right. We just be on a roll with some wild shit. And so now, all of a sudden, like, one person decided, oh, no, that's fucked up. We're done. Like, T.I. hopped on the bandwagon immediately. He was like, nah, fuck Kodak Black, fuck Kodak Black. And Kodak Black hit him up and was like, yo, what I, like, I had no malice.
Right.
I just said something. It was ignorant. And, like, I'm in Atlanta. Where you at?
Right.
So, like, he was like, come late. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. You know? But, like, people are so quick to just immediately chase clout by canceling people. Mm. When Nipsey passed, there were, like, all these different articles, you know, little social media rants.
Blogs and
people talking about, oh, well, he was toxic to the LGBT community, and like he said all these like anti-gay things, and da 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 da, and like talking real ill of the dead,
yeah,
but have never spoke about Nipsey Hussle before until all of a sudden he passed away,
right?
And it's like I feel like a lot of people use cancel culture as a way to get put on. And I was talking to my coworker about this, and he was just like discussing how a lot of people end up just saying shit to kind of spark the problematic light. They say shit to see if they can get a little buzz, see if they can get a little following, and hopefully someone bites. Like the reality is that ignorance and chaos is like the number one marketing scheme.
Absolutely.
So you say some wild shit and people are gonna bite.
Right.
If I were to say some shit, like some ill shit, and God bless the dead, but if I were to say some ill shit about Nipsey, people would flock to this podcast, and for good or for bad. Mm. But we'd have hundreds and thousands of viewers because we said something crazy, and they'd circulate all that shit. And then they cancel us.
Right.
Or I'd have like a subset of culture that we'd have a subset of culture that was like, oh, well, no, we support you for saying that crazy shit. But it's just a lot of people clout chase by saying making hot takes about things that they never even cared about. Strip clubs were talking about. I saw a post like 2 days ago that some strip club was talking about we're no longer playing Kodak Black's music. Like, how many of you really were playing Kodak Black's music? Let's be real.
You were
in L.A.,
oh, I know
Kodak
that song.
Is from. But like, y'all in LA, Kodak Black is from Florida.
Right. Oh, I thought he. Okay.
Nah, he's from Florida. I know damn well y'all wasn't consistently. Y'all wasn't playing no goddamn Kodak Black in your strip club. You just wanted to be part of the conversation.
Exactly.
And thought, oh, well, if I say that I support this, I said before, people who ride or die, like the whole. Social justice warrior,
yeah,
like concept. If you get people to believe that you are like here for social justice, you all of a sudden have the biggest following in the world. So if I found out that Nipsey did say some like homophobic shit. And I was like, no, I don't fuck with Nipsey. All of a sudden, people are going to flock to me because I come off. The perception is that, oh, he's like down for the cause. And that's bullshit, yo. Right. Like, be your fucking self. Yeah. Stop fucked up shit.
Stop being so goddamn, like, conformed to what's going on in this world, because they don't even know what the fuck they want to do. Like,
that's
like
what I'm saying. Niggas just out here for clout, and it's really fucking annoying. People hopped, same with Cardi B. Yeah. People hopped on the wave. People was like,
so quick with it. I was just like, yo.
People was like, oh, Cardi's just like Cosby. Cardi's just like Cosby.
Nah, she gets like a Pepsi deal, and they're like, no, we gotta do everything we can to try to rip her down. Like, this video was like years ago. And I'm not saying, like, again, not making an excuse.
Again, wrong is wrong. Right. At the end of the day, wrong is wrong.
Like, I feel like she is wrong, but to equate her to the whole surviving Cardi B situation, I think that's just a little over the top.
Not just. That shit is wild.
Yeah.
And people are like, what's hilarious is,
and they do it for the laughs and,
yeah, but what's hilarious is how quick straight men were to jump on the bandwagon and be like, nah, cancel Cardi, because they felt slighted because of Cosby and R. Kelly. They was like, oh shit, all the straight men getting hemmed up. We need to cancel Cardi B too. Y'all niggas is wilding. First of all,
there's multiple women that came up saying, hey, this nigga raped me.
I ain't even talking about that. Cardi B makes some dope ass music, so I'm not canceling it. Fuck that shit on top of that.
But there, I mean, that's
she drugged some people. Everybody likes to have a little fun.
But the thing is, you wanna get a little drugged up. It's not one of those people where it's like, oh, she. Stop.
Everybody wants to get a little drugged up.
Oh my god!
Sprinkle a little something in the drink. We having a party.
No, sprinkle a little nothing.
That's your fucking problem.
This is why you go to the parties with your cup covered.
No, nope, that's your motherfucking problem. You was at the goddamn strip club and saw
of Christ.
You was at the strip club and saw this girl twerking on the stage and was like, "Ooh,
nobody finna drug me and touch my nose."
You thought she was
gonna
be able to hit. You thought she was gonna be able to hit. So you was over here front like, "I'm gonna take her home. I'm gonna give me Porsche."
No, not why you sound like a country old man. See, this is why
Billy Ray Cyrus is my nigga.
Oh,
that's why.
Oh, so you're with the Ginger Fires. It's all in a circle.
It's a circle. But all I'm saying is some nigga was at a strip club and was drunk as hell and saw Cardi B twerking on stage.
And they fell in
like,
love.
Ooh, I'm going to take that joint home.
Absolutely.
And then they was throwing all their cash and was like, yeah, you want to come home? And they probably did some like real wild shit. You know, ain't no touching in a strip club. They probably put their hands all on her butt cheeks.
Right.
They was probably touching her lips and shit, things that they weren't supposed to be touching.
That's too much.
I don't care. That tell them it was too much. And then she was like, oh, you want to try and fuck with me? I'm going to fuck with you. I'm going to get that bag, nigga. And then she was like, come back to my crib. And then sprinkle a little fucking pixie dust in that cup and I'm bow. Got your wallet.
It's just one of
got
those,
your keys. Ew. I'm taking that fucking 96 that Toyota
thang.
Corolla home
that,
with me.
She gonna take that.
Cause you know niggas in the Bronx ain't got good cars.
Oh,
shots fired. I want all the smoke.
A lot of people from the Bronx don't even drive.
Exactly. So if they do have a car, it's probably a 96 Toyota Corolla.
Oh my gosh. This is 2019.
There we go. Do the math. That's like
carry the
that's
one.
Like 12 years old.
Hold your hands up.
That's 96 God minus 2019. That's like
You stick to reading, I'll stick to maths.
Whatever,
just
nigga.
Motherfucker.
All I'm saying is stop. Like, yeah, you don't have the right to just be out here canceling people.
Absolutely.
None of us have the right to determine what anybody did as wrong. Like, especially with no background information, because all we do is just follow the trend of what's posted on social media.
Mm.
Yes, we know wrong is wrong. We know there is some ignorant shit and some dumbass shit that people have done, but you cannot believe everything that is on social media, nor do you even have the power to determine what is, like, outrageous, or no, what is immoral, because there's some things that clearly are outrageously immoral.
Absolutely.
Such as Cosby, such as R. Kelly.
Absolutely.
That like are easy to make judgments and make a pass at. But things like this, when people just make mistakes and say ignorant, dumb shit like
yeah.
Kodak Black, you don't get to just like write him off. You can go ahead and say, nah, I don't fuck with you.
Right.
That's fine. But don't
how are you to cut his money off like that?
Like he said some dumb shit. It's fine. I say dumb shit. You say dumb shit.
All
y'all listening, I bet you said some dumb shit. I bet if you like scroll all the way back down to the end of your Instagram page and looked at the first picture you posted, it's probably some ignorant ass shit. But you know, at the end of the day,
nah, bro. I think that's you, bro.
I already said I do ignorant shit. I'm not afraid of it. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Y'all gonna cancel me? Y'all gonna cancel the podcast? Cancel this
Wait,
dick.
Wait, that's the thing. It's kind of like, this dick. I've been saying some ignorant ass shit to you with my tough ass week, but it's like, again, does that, do you cut me off as a partner? Is it one of those things where you're just like, oh, I can't fuck with her, knowing that, like, you know, just
people who
be light on people.
Yo, people who are so quick to cancel other, like, artists and musicians, what's weird, what's wild is that y'all probably have nothing of your own. Like, you have nothing that's worthwhile. You're trying to get rid of other people and block other people's shine, just diminish their like image, their public image. You don't even have a public image, y'all. Like sad.
I might have to like snap on that.
Like, you have nothing. Nobody even know, like, nobody knows who you are. You have no
identity.
Not identity, but you don't have anything. You have no legacy. You have nothing that you've left behind. You're so worried about canceling other people because they're doing shit. You're worried about all the influencers and all the people on social media. Absolutely. But, like, you don't got shit.
Absolutely.
You have nothing to your name. You're not even building anything. So why are you so pressed?
Yeah.
Build your own legacy. And when you try to shut down Nipsey Hussle, maybe he did say some homophobic shit. You know what? I really wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Yeah.
Because the reality is the majority of black men have said some homophobic shit.
Yeah.
But
no one's being like intentional or specifically pointing out like, oh, like, you know, they gotta. I don't know. I would. It's just something that they're not used to, especially within the black community.
All I'm saying, stop cursing the dead. And stop standing on your high horse like you ain't ever did any ignorant shit, anything ignorant, and just writing people to fuck off.
It's just some things we have to unlearn.
Get over yourself. You're better than that. Fuck out of here. You don't have the right to cancel nobody because you ain't got shit. Maybe not you listening to this podcast.
I was about to say,
you listen to this podcast. You got a lot. You have my love. You have Rashawn's love. You have the love of the Lord.
Oh.
Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior.
Okay, stop. Jeez.
I did drill.
Oh,
but all you people out here trying to cancel everybody, man, get that bullshit out of here. If you want to cancel somebody, cancel all them fucking Ben Krasinski, Sarah Ann Krasowski, whatever her name was.
Major city.
All, you know, find those people who taken over your neighborhood. Find those people who don't even speak, don't even look at their next door neighbor.
Yeah, man.
And cancel them bitch ass niggas.
Yeah, man.
Pee on their lawn. Take a huge shit on their front doorstep.
Bring a roll of toilet paper while you're at it.
Yeah, because you don't want
to.
I mean,
that would be a little trifling for you to just pop a squat.
Yeah,
and
you'll get a rash, and then you'll just have a really shitty day.
Get the fuck out. Don't touch me.
But
Jesus.
Yo.
Whose child is this?
Whatever, nigga. All I'm saying is just do what you can to fuck these hoes, you know?
What?
All right, you go.
But it's so true. Dog, I really feel for those cities that are dealing with gentrification within their own, like, just keep maintain that culture and be vibrant as possible. But those who are just moving into the new cities, try your best to engage in their communities, period.
And, you know, every episode we've been ending with music that you should listen to.
Yeah.
Honestly, the only thing that you should listen to every single day this week is Old Town Road Remix. And that's it.
Absolutely.
That's it. Nobody cares about anything else.
I've been heavy with the Billy Ray Cyrus verse. Like, I'm trying to tell you, the best verse in 2019. So, don't play it.
I'm not going to play it.
Don't play it. Oh. I was about to say, I knew you were.
I mean,
like,
do you have anything?
I got an old town road in a.
You really need to learn these fucking lyrics. You got to learn these fucking lyrics.
I got my horse on my
dick. Got my horse on my dick?
I don't know. So recently, I've been listening to Fonte came out with a new little EP.
Old Town Road.
And there was like a track produced by Kate Trinata. So I'm pretty excited to see that they're like going back and forth with like production and being featured on each other's like shut up. Your breath feels hot.
Just keep talking.
Breath is hot as fuck.
Keep talking.
I was trying to, but like I had the heater on.
Shut the fuck up. I got the horses on my back. But yeah, that's all I've been listening to.
Well, I have...
In '90s, of course.
Been listening to Schoolboy's new song, Chopsticks.
Oh yeah, it came out today.
No, it came out like 2 days ago.
Just kidding.
listening to the new Goldlink track called Superpowers. And we recently went to go see Tobe Nguiwe.
Oh my
God. Shout out to my Niger boys. I butchered his last name. But
amazing show.
He's a rapper from Houston. Absolutely independent. It's just him, his best friend, and his wife.
Yes.
And soon to be son.
Like, so it's two women and one male.
They done sold out every show in the country thus far that they've gone to. Every single show. No label, no major backing, nothing. Like, they out here. If you don't know who he, like...
You just gotta get hit.
He's got three tapes. First one is called Originals. Second one's called More Originals. Third one is called Three Originals. Really easy to remember. So please.
For those who think like, oh, y'all are relationship goals. Y'all have meaningful conversations and blah, 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 blah. No, they are relationship goals.
So the wife does the choreography for every music video.
Yes.
She also helps write and she does like some of the choruses and sings and does verses occasionally.
She's like the creative. The best friend
is the producer. Mm-hmm. She makes all the beats. And then Tobe is... He just got all the bars.
Yeah.
And like combined, they formed together like motherfucking Voltron, yo.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles don't combine but to do anything.
They came from the ground up.
Is don't this touch thing me. On? Anyways, because okay. That was frustrating. So we're going to end the podcast right with some quick.
I was really excited.
Don't talk to me.
And the master.
Okay. Nah, you're canceled. Nobody's supporting you anymore.
No.
Yep, we're done. Do not support Fuzzy anymore.
Don't play her.
Do not support Fuzzy or her Instagram. If you see her post anything, I want you to report it.
I want you to report it. On top.
Anyways, some quick words of encouragement. Yes. When you learn that entitlement ain't cute, no one, and I mean no one, owes you a goddamn thing. Not their hearts, their energy, their love, their time. Humility allows us to be fluid in that way. Not everything is centered or revolves around us, receiving what we feel we are deserved and owed. Sit your entitled bitch ass down.
Oh my gosh.
The fuck out of here. Don't nobody owe you a goddamn thing, nigga.
Excuse me.
So that's real motherfucking rap. So if you move to a new city, don't nobody owe you shit. They don't owe you silence. They don't owe you fucking moving over while you're walking down the sidewalk.
Nope.
They don't even owe you picking up their dog's poop. Fuck that shit. You pick up their dog's poop, nigga. Nah, please pick up from your pets.
But it's a little tracking.
Because I'm not trying to step in it.
Just a little tap it.
Just bought a new pair of shoes.
But I will say with that, I will take from that. No one cares. So when you're like, oh, I did something great. Oh, I did this like homeless shelter thing. Look at my pictures. Nobody cares. If anything, do better. And then do better again. Because you should be your own cheerleader. Make sense?
Don't nobody give a fuck about you. Take care of your goddamn self. And if you think somebody cares about you, get over it.
Don't say that. We encourage all sorts of
care about your fucking
love.
Self. Care but about your fucking self.
At the same time, pat yourself on the back.
Don't pat yourself on the back. Don't congratulate yourself for doing shit. Move on to the next thing and do better. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Out here, Entangled Podcast. Suck my dick from the back.
No, I don't want to end off on this note again.
Why don't you want it?
Because that's not our thing.
Suck a butt.
Suck a butt.
Ew. Is that sucking sounds? That's disgusting. I'm uncomfortable. Ew. And you're humming to it?